Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game.
All right, folks, welcome. It is Baltimore Sports Talk here at MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. I'm Rob McQuay, your host. Jeff Coles is my co-host.
Hey, Rob.
Vernon, Ohio. Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Well, actually, I'm over in Newark, Ohio. I'm just kind of taking care of some business today, but
Newark,
just want to say
there's
a Newark, Ohio, and actually it's pronounced Newark. We always say Balmer, you know.
Yeah.
And
right.
The folks around here say Newark. And it's like
Balmer,
two ERs.
Hollandtown,
yeah.
And which is Highlandtown.
Yes, yes.
And Newark, which is Newark. Huh. Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, it's great to be back here. You know, I've been on the road for most of the week. My cousin lost her apartment in a fire. Everything in it lost. But she and her cat and all of the residents of that apartment house survived.
Glad to hear that. Sorry to hear about the fire. That certainly was a terrible ordeal. But glad to know that, no one's injured and, you know, everyone's safe.
Yeah.
But now you have her with you now.
Yeah, yeah. So we're getting, I'll tell you what, when you lose everything, I mean, people understand what that, you know, what that is like.
Right.
And
right.
I'm even, trying to understand and grasp, get my head around that situation myself.
Sure.
And, you know,
sure.
It's just one piece at a time, putting someone's life back together, and
it's crazy. So we're sorry for her loss and all of that, but certainly grateful that you're there and able to help pick up the pieces and all that good stuff.
Thank you, I appreciate that, Rob. Oh, so anyway,
right, Jeff,
we did get to go to Cheatriots country a little bit, whiz by the infamous Foxborough Stadium and salute them with one finger.
Home of Spygate.
Yeah.
and other things.
I had my picture taken with a cardboard cutout of Big Poppy.
I did see that.
Saw.
yeah, I did see that.
Get to take pictures. I took pictures of the fire of the building and my cousin. I took a couple of pictures that were especially they were especially moving. I think in terms of and the Taunton Daily Gazette actually took them and ran them on their front page for the story about Ruth, the feature story, which is really nice.
That's
my cousin.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to her. I'm sure, you've got her all taken care of and things will go well from now on. All right. Well, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about this NFL draft. While Jeff takes care of whatever he's taking care of, some interesting stuff in the draft, specifically for the Baltimore Ravens, but I think throughout the entire draft, and some teams making some interesting choices, some that were interesting but not particularly surprising, such as the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, the Cowboys selecting Ezekiel Elliott, which is a surprising move as far as the entire draft goes, but a lot of the analysts thought that the Cowboys would do that, and indeed they did. I don't know. I don't know that the Dallas Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns certainly make some interesting draft choices. It's every year, it seems like. So, you know, we'll see how it works out. I mean, Elliott is supposedly an explosive playmaker, and, you know, maybe he'll work out very nicely for the Cowboys. But in this day and age, taking a running back that high in the draft is somewhat questionable when there are other needs on the team, such as the Dallas Cowboys.
There's a lot of needs on the Cowboys, and I think they were really the Cowboys wanted Joey Bosa, and that got taken on them just before they had a chance to choose. So, you know, that was, you know, at that point.
So you think if Bosa had been there, the Cowboys would have taken him instead of going for Elliott?
Oh, absolutely. And like, you could tell why. It was because they tipped their hand when they started kind of downgrading you know, their I guess their rating of Joey Bosa. You know, they wanted mm-hmm. to kind of put it out there that he wasn't as good as he is. And you know, let's face it, the Buckeyes, I mean, he's probably the best that the Buckeyes have to offer, and that this is no
right.
small class. I mean, there were 10 Buckeyes that got chosen in the first three rounds.
Right.
His draft. And he's
right.
probably the cream of that crop.
Right. Well,
but,
and of course you would know, being out you know, out in Buckeye land, as you are. Because you get that up close and personal. So let's talk a little bit about this Laremy Tunsil situation. I think you know, most of the listeners know the situation with Tunsil. You know, I guess what's it been now, a week ago or so, and all of these pictures and things came out on social media, evidently by his stepfather of all people, and and so that of course threw a black cloud over Laremy Tunsil as, you know, maybe the number one pick in the draft, although we all know that one and two is going to go to those quarterbacks because the Rams and, oh, my goodness, I can't think of who ended up picking second now. Oh, the Eagles. The Rams and
Eagles,
the Eagles were going for
and,
quarterbacks.
And the Eagles, And the Eagles ended up picking Carson Wentz from North Dakota State. But, you know, I think the Tunsil situation, I mean, everybody's gun-shy. And, I mean, let's face it, we're right in the wake of, you know, Johnny Manziel and, you know, and all that goofing around. I mean, people are being a little more careful. And when they see something that's irresponsible, I mean, let's face it, I mean, probably a lot of players – are smoking weed and don't necessarily get seen doing it, but when it's that irresponsible in terms of being done that much out in the open, and you know, and what was he had a gas mask, by the way, where do you get one of those? But anyway,
yeah,
that's aside from the point. anyway, you know, it's people are gonna be a little gun shy when it comes to spending their first draft pick or their first draft choice on something.
Yeah. Well, and very interesting here in Baltimore because of course the Ravens have been discussing and looking at, and we've talked about, and I've never been particularly a Eugene Monroe fan. When that that trade. Although when the trade came down, I guess I was happy about that because I was happy to get rid of, and I can't even think of the tackle's name that we had at that time. But he wasn't pulling his weight, and I can't even think of who it was. But so when that whole thing came down, I guess I was happy with the trade only because we were getting rid of somebody. But the Eugene Monroe in return was no bargain. And he had a decent first year with the Ravens, but it wasn't anything spectacular. And then he really has kind of gotten worse since then. So, you know, as far as we're concerned here as fans, we've been looking for the Ravens to get an offensive tackle that actually would do something. And so Laramie Tunsil being available at 6, I think everybody figured, man, if he's available at 6, the Ravens will take him. But because of the Ray Rice situation, I would say the Ravens are not going to play with that kind of fire.
Not at all.
They've obviously been burned. In the past, now obviously, you know, it wasn't the same situation as Ray Rice, but it was still a media debacle for the Ravens. There's that. They go ahead and they take Ronnie. My goodness, I'm blanking
Ronnie
his name.
Stanley
on
from Notre Dame.
That's Ronnie Stanley. Yeah. And, you know, the rumor
around
here,
that wasn't
here,
that
Jeff,
big of a surprise. I mean, that's not really there's not a whole lot of difference in terms of what we're going to get. You know,
well,
on the offensive line.
I guess there are a couple of knocks that the national guys have been talking about with Stanley. But from what we've heard around here, and, you know, who knows if it's the Ravens spinning it or whatever, but the things that we were hearing, and even before the draft happened, the things that we were hearing is that the Ravens really liked this kid, Ronnie Stanley. So there's some thought that he was higher on the board, on the Ravens board, than Tunsil. When the whole thing, what they're saying is, when the whole thing with Tunsil came out, the Ravens immediately removed him from their board altogether.
Yeah.
So,
so you wouldn't even get a second look if he has been available later. But obviously,
no. And you notice that they did draft another tackle later in the draft. Obviously it wasn't Tunsil because he was already gone by that.
Fourth rounder.
But,
had a fourth rounder, Alex Lewis from Nebraska.
Yeah.
Another good, solid Big Ten tackle.
Then, of course, there's the whole speculation over, Miles Jack. And then, of course, that he had some knee issue, and the last thing the Ravens wanted to do was draft a player that already had a knee issue following the heels of Rashad Perryman, who we have yet to see on the field because of a knee injury. So
we need to put a do not fragile, handle with care sticker on, on Rashad Perryman's uniform. So
right.
I'm looking forward to this year because if he is healthy, he's going to be a redshirt rookie coming out, and he'll be part of this class.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the big question still for me is he going to be healthy? You know, the Ravens are I don't know. We're not hearing a whole lot. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. But
But, you know, after they get Stanley, they've got Bo Hem, they've got some about four guys who are potentially all good pass rushers.
Yes.
So that's going to be a big thing, you know, making the defense younger, quicker, stronger.
Right.
And let's not forget, of course, you know, we talked about it when it happened, but let's not forget the addition of Eric Weddle. So you've got veteran leadership, you know, in that defensive secondary. And now you throw in a couple of these you know, draft picks, these young guys, these rookies just coming into the league. Hopefully Eric Weddle will not only play well, but he will act as that mentor and kind of coach on the field, presence in the locker room.
Our secondary guys will last, you know, through the season. We've been losing those guys, right, left, and center.
Right. Well, and Jeff, let's talk a little bit about, you know, last year. It really was all about injury. The Ravens had so many stinking injuries, and to prominent players, you know, Terrell Suggs, later in the season when Joe went down, but you could argue really at that point the season had already been lost. Shame that we had to lose Joe to an injury, but not that really that big of a deal, because the Ravens probably weren't going to be able to get back into anything had Joe continued playing. Steve Smith,
and now he's going to make he's going to have one more year, as far as I know. Do we know anything about Joe? I mean,
only that, you know, he's working out, he's doing well. But they're being fairly quiet about him too. But you know, Joe's a quiet kind of guy anyway. So, but it looks like he's on track. A couple of times I've heard that he might be a little bit ahead of schedule. I haven't heard about any setbacks with his rehab. So it all looks like it's going well. I still don't know whether he's going to be able to start the season or not. And they're not saying that he won't be able to. Everything that I've read and heard is they expect him to start the season. Both of those injuries, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we don't see him, you know, maybe, I don't know, week three or something. I'm not sure if he can start the first week or two.
There's another quarterback we might not see until week three or four of the
season.
Week
five.
Maybe.
Well, as it stands now, we won't see him until week five, and I'd like to actually never see him again. But, obviously you're talking about Tom Brady, and the recent decision by the appellate judge or whatever it was that. And you know, Jeff, really all that the judge was saying is you guys have given the commissioner this power, so you're going to have to live with it. And if he wants a four-game suspension, it's within his power, as you guys have outlined it. And that comes down to the Players Association and the collective bargaining agreement.
At this point, I mean, the appellate judge has made his ruling. I guess they just have to kick it upstairs to a higher court.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. I don't think this gets to the Supreme Court. I don't think the Supreme Court hears this thing. But what's telling to me is that the judge isn't saying that Tom Brady was guilty. The judge is simply saying that the NFL and the commissioner of the NFL is within his jurisdiction to impose whatever fine or suspension levy that he wants to impose, because that's the agreement that the Players Association has with the NFL. So it's their own
and
darn
speaking
fault.
Of,
yeah.
Speaking of the commissioner of the NFL, Mr. Roger Goodell,
mm-hmm.
he seemed to be the he seemed to attract the most attention at the draft.
Because
every
draft.
Time he got up there, he got booed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I think everyone likes Roger Goodell.
Yeah. Well, dictators tend to get booed. And, you know, like it or not, that's how they've set things up. But, again, I go back to the Players Association. It's their own darn fault. They agreed to it. They gave him the power. You know, it's kind of like whatever happens in this country in this election, the voters are going to basically decide. So if anyone's going to yell about it, then yell it yourself because – you know, y'all are the ones that have chosen whatever you've chosen.
Yep.
So, anyway, we don't want to talk politics here on this show.
I understand.
Unless it's pertaining to the NFL or Major League Baseball and all that stuff. So, right. So, anyway, all in all, Jeff, what were your feelings about the Ravens draft and if you've had time to really kind of absorb it or not, and I don't know, do you have a grade on the Orioles on the Ravens with this year's
on the Ravens,
draft?
I've got to give them a B+, just
okay.
because
okay.
I think I laud them as far as being careful and picking their number one choice. I also think that they loaded their defense, which, you know, to make it a much more imposing group
mm-hmm.
going forward, that to me is, you know, as and I'm saying B for now, that could change to an A depending on the on how the middle draft picks, you know, pan out. And usually, normally, those fourth, fifth, sixth round picks that Ozzie gets, they seem to work out.
Right. Right. I'll be interested to see how this kid, Correa, the outside linebacker from Boise State, I'll be interested to see how he pans out. That was the Ravens' second round pick.
Yes.
They seem to feel really good about him. And I think there were some other guys available at the time that, you know, that they passed on that, you know, their argument could have been made that they should have taken. But it'll be interesting to see how this kid comes in and whether, you know,
yeah.
with he and Mosley
yeah.
and hopefully Suggs, you know, is coming back healthy. And, of course, with Doomerville, who's both he and Suggs are getting older. Maybe this kid will be able to give them a, you know, a few plays off during the game.
Well, Correa's a big body. He's got a big
yeah.
body, but I don't know how fast he is. I don't know how quick he is. You know,
well,
coming
let's
off
see.
The,
I actually,
off the ball.
I've got the. I'm looking at
you
the Ravens site here, and hang on, it's taking a second for that to. There we go. So,
especially on that
okay,
outside.
Okay, so yeah, let me give you the what they've got here. First of all, he's 6'3" and 243. So, as you
yeah,
were saying,
he's
a big body. His 40-yard dash is a 4.69. So, you know, he's not like
yeah,
he's not he's terrific.
Decent. Yeah.
His vertical jump up in the air, 33 inches, so that's, what, about 3 feet?
Yep.
and his broad jump is 108 inches. Not really sure how that, you know, factors into it. His college career stats, he had 69 total tackles. He had 31 and a half tackles for loss, 5 forced fumbles, and 20 sacks. In 2015, he was an All-Mountain West second team. So,
pretty hard to compare
back.
Because he's out in that Western Conference, and it's just so hard to compare him, you know, to the big conferences. We're just gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah, and the Ravens traded back to get him. You know, they traded back so they get a couple more picks, and I guess they figured, you know, they'd go for this guy as opposed to some of the others they maybe could have gone for. So, so that'll be interesting, and they get this kid out of BYU, Bronson Tafusi, who is a defensive end, and. You know, he's a 6'6", 285, another big guy. We'll see. BYU, 26 and a half sacks, 167 tackles, 44 for loss. So, we'll see. We'll see how, you know, the Ravens do a really good job of coaching these guys up and getting them where they need. So,
And of course, this is a good time to kind of throw in there that we'll be talking a little bit more about some of these players when we have Mr. Aparicio on the show next week.
Well, that's right.
As
yeah,
a special
I certainly
guest.
I certainly want to get Nestor's input on the draft. He follows it closely. He knows these college players, and he'll obviously have some very definite thoughts. And that's good, Jeff. And just mention to anyone who's listening, and if you're listening to this even after the fact, we will have the nasty one, Nestor Aparicio, radio personality, sports writer, owner of WNST here in Baltimore. Well, he'll be on the program next Monday, week from today, next Monday at 11 o'clock. So
speaking
please
of
join
ones,
us.
Where's our Philly Jeff? We need to get our
Philly Jeff
in.
He's still on assignment. It'll be another 2 weeks, and then we'll get Philly Jeff back the following
week. He actually
Monday,
has a job
today.
Philly Jeff has a job. He is gainfully employed.
That is true. So, but 2 weeks from today, Philly Jeff should be back. So a week from today, we've got Nasty Nestor, and then two weeks from today, Philly Jeff back, and I'm sure we'll have to hear all about the Phillies. And hopefully the Orioles will still be flying. They've had a little bit of a setback here with the White Sox. But you know what? The Chicago White Sox, coming into the series, were the best team in the American League. And the Orioles were the second best team in the American League. And I guess after the four-game series, they've left the same way because they split the series.
They split.
So,
and
Boston's
having a run right now. They've been playing the Yankees, and they cleaned up on the Yankees, and they've been 8-2 the last 10 games. So that put them into first place, just barely ahead of Baltimore.
Oh, okay. So, wow. All right. So the Orioles are no longer the second best team in baseball.
I did mention that I'm driving through New York State on my way to Boston. I was in Western New York. You know, they have all those wonderful vineyards in upstate New York, and I wanted to bring home a New York wine. You know, a good New York wine. So I went to the store nearby and I asked the lady, I said, do you have a good New York wine? And she said, yes. She said, yes, the Yankees are in last place.
Ba-dum-bum. I don't have my sound effects today. I
sorry.
Need to give you
you got to have that drum.
I may need to get you a rim shot there.
Sorry
about that.
That was corny.
The Yankees in last place. I don't have that, but I do have a Raven there for the draft.
Yeah.
Were you able to hear that?
I didn't hear that.
Huh. Maybe that doesn't.
Somebody's riding a lawnmower
thing.
Right near me, and I just Somebody's decided to get on their riding mower, and I'm trying to walk away from them.
Let me try that again. Yeah. Well, anyway. All right, Jeff. Hey, look, we're out of town. We're out of town. We're out of town.
I'm out of town, and you're out of town.
And you're out of town. You're out of town, and I'm out of time.
Hey, that's a song.
That's right. All right. Well, that'll do it, folks. Oh my goodness, I got all kinds of stuff going on here. Can you hear
this?
There
goes this? The ratings. Oh.
Yeah. All right.
No,
you can hear the music.
I can't hear it.
Nope. Can't hear the music.
No.
All right.
I can't hear
that's
it.
Okay.
Our listeners might be able to hear that.
No, if you can't hear it, the listeners can't hear it. So I have to. I had some problems with my soundboard. The cat dumped a bud vase that I had on the desk, and water's gone into my soundboard, and so I had to open it up and try to dry it out. So.
And remember, when all else fails, throw your cat under the bus.
Yeah. All right.
Your cat is fired as the sound director.
That's right. He is done. Toast. Never to return. All right. Hey, that's going to do it. Join us next week when we have the nasty one, Nasty Nestor Aparicio on the program, folks. That should be a good one. So line up, call in, and ask Nestor whatever you got on your mind about Baltimore sports. And he actually knows about national stuff, too. So.
Yes, he does.
You can ask him about that stuff, too. All right, that's going to do it, Jeff. Have a good week, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte.
Megabyte.
The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy. For it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You gotta see this porn site.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.